I said rejoice.
Rejoice. Rejoice. Be happy in their portion. In their portion. Therefore, I want to stop right there. I don't mean to take so much time, Pastor, but I got, how many this morning when you worship, you just kind of worship? Or did you put double into your worship? I mean, some of you come in, go, I sure hope God touches me and blesses me. I just need a touch today. Well, how much did you touch back? How much did you go after? Did you do a regular worship or did you go after and doubly? Because God's going to reward you more so than what you went after him. Somebody want to agree with that? Somebody want to grab a hold of that today? Amen. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Here it is. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Somebody say double. Somebody say it again, double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Everlasting joy in the middle of your situation. In the middle of your problem, in the middle of your turmoil, it doesn't matter to God. God says, I'm going to give you double joy. And the Bible says that there shall be, you know, there's going to be, he can turn your mourning into dancing. He can turn all the bad into good. And what the enemy meant for bad and evil, God can turn to good. And I want double good. I want a double healing. I want a double portion of the anointing. Y'all ready for the word? Y'all ready? Now, what I did is in the beginning of the conversation, I said, how many's had a garden and you broke the ground? You had to break the ground to get something inside, right? Well, I just broke some ground, and I want you to give honor to your pastor as he comes up, and he's fixing to put in some seed. Amen? Put your hands together, and let's welcome the best pastor in this area. Amen.
Yeah. I told you I did good 26 years ago, didn't I? You know, there's one thing that we didn't share today, and I'll share it because it, when I married them, I forgot one important part of the ceremony. But it didn't slow Bobby down any. I forgot to tell him to kiss the bride. He's sitting there doing this. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And then finally he realized I wasn't going to say it because I'd forgot it, and he just grabbed her and kissed her. So there you go. Pastor and Kathy and Summit Church, thank you for all you have done for us. Your prayers, love, support, and food for a lovely service and a great celebration of James Looney's life. We love you and thank you. Thank you, Brenda and Rose and Victoria. We're praying for you guys. We know that this is a tremendous time of getting your feet back on the ground and learning to function without somebody in your life. But we got great memories. And we've got great experiences and life events that fill all of that. So we're going to be praying for you guys, for sure. Want to continue to pray for Dolly and Chris over here. They've been through it here the last few weeks. Dolly's going through her thing with the neck and back. Are you able to turn yet without turning your back and neck? Oh, wow. Okay. So I want you guys to come up at the end today, and we're going to pray for you. Chris has had Bell's palsy for the last 2 weeks. So, you know, Tony Glass and some of you have had that, so you understand that. So we're praying for you, brother, for total healing today. Amen. Would you just stretch your hand out toward Chris and Dolly? Right now? Just begin to pray for them right now. Thank you, Father. God, you're such a great Father, and you're such a, Lord, you're such a great healer. God, we send the word right now to heal them, to totally restore Dolly, totally restore Chris. God, I pray that you will provide for them, Lord, the automobile that they need, the healing that they need. God, everything that they need in their life today, God, that you would supply. And Lord, that the system would not slow it down any longer. We declare today that the system, the attorneys, the courts, and everything else would not slow this down. Come on, pray that with me. Would not slow this down. God, that there would be a turn of events this week that would make sure that they get what they deserve and what they should get, Lord, because we know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in them and us. And so we decree it today. Amen. And if you feel so led at the end of the service, they be sure that you pray with them and just minister to them today, and they'll tell you exactly where they are. Well, you know, part of a wedding ceremony is You know, for a bride is something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. And, you know, I don't know that you have all of those, but if you're going to get married anytime soon, we want you to think about that, you brides, and you're so beautiful, and something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Part of what I wanted to share today is that when the anointing comes, or when God begins to come into your life, the old leaves, the new comes. Say that with me, the old leaves, the new comes, and then something borrowed, that would be the anointing. We borrow from the Lord. You borrow from the ministry. You borrow from the Word of God. And then something blue, to me, is healing. Because, you know, he is bruised for our iniquities. He is bruised for our sins. And we know what a bruise looks like. But something blue represents healing. I want you to turn with me this morning to Matthew 9, 18 through 25. We're going to read this. And I'm going to try to take you on just a short journey today about moving into the new. And I'm going to jump over and look at a little bit of Revelation today, too, because I want to say a few things about heaven. And some of you who really are losing important people into your life need to know where they're going, what it looks like. I will tell you this, that if you will go and read Revelation 20, 21, and 22, you'll come away with an understanding about heaven like you have never had before. I can't explain it any better than what John did in the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos as God actually gave him this tremendous book. But in 21, and I'll tell you this, and you might want to get this, in chapter 21 of Revelation, it is a look at how Jerusalem looks from the outside, or New Jerusalem, how it looks from the outside. And we'll read that scripture in just a minute. And then, of course, the chapter 22 is a look at how the New Jerusalem, or heaven, looks from the inside, outside and inside. So as you read it, remember, chapter 21 is looking at New Jerusalem from the outside. Chapter 22 is looking at the New Jerusalem from the inside. So you want to, like if you drive down the road and you see a house, you're looking for a house to live in. You see the outside, you got to get a key to go in and see the inside. That's what we're talking about today. And so I want you to really see today that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, we say that all the time. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But God is the only one. Now watch this. I want you to get this. God is the only one who can remain the same and do something entirely different. Wow. Is that amazing? That he can remain the same and do something entirely different. And one of the things that we are actually called to do is to get our mind where it needs to be so that we can perceive. Now watch this. So that we can perceive the things that God wants us to perceive. A lot of what we're getting from the Lord today is the same old stuff over and over again. And what happens is that we get into a rut and we're actually not growing the way that God wants us to grow. So we got to make a decision that we're going to take our unrenewed mind. Look here, now get this. Our unrenewed mind and turn it into a renewed mind. We're going to get into the Word. Everybody say, get into the Word. So that we can have a renewed mind and begin to look at the Word of God the way that God wants us to see it. So when we begin to press in and we begin to touch God and we begin to touch the hem of His garment, we begin to see things differently. We begin to perceive things a lot differently. Let's read here, and it says in Matthew 9, 18 through 25, while He spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped Him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Verse 19, so Jesus arose and followed Him, and so did His disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of His garment. I shall be made well. 22, but Jesus turned around, and when He saw her, He said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Can you say amen? Verse 23, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, He said to them, make room for the girl is not dead but sleeping. I want you to underline that. The girl is not dead but sleeping. I mean, those that's better. Not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed Him. Verse 25. But when the crowd was put outside, He went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And here's what I want you to see. We're coming into a kingdom season in the earth. Everybody get that? If you want to know what season it is, we're in a kingdom season. where the government is on his shoulders, not ours. The problem with America today is that they think the government is on their shoulders. Now, has the church failed in their responsibility with people? Yes, I think that we have. But we've also been a great church as well, leading people into the faith, leading people into the anointing, leading people into the glory of God. But every, watch this now, every season has a beginning and an end. And what we need is we need a new anointing to break open God's full purpose for right now. The purpose that God has for us right now has to be broken open. We have to know what that purpose is. We have to know what our assignment is. And we're not going to do it the old way with what has worked in the past. Now, some of you are sitting here today and you think, man, I've got these great memories and I've got these wonderful experiences in the faith, and those are great things. But I'm telling you this right now. God is trying to do something new in your life. Will you let him? Will you perceive it as God begins to give it to you? And a lot of people look at preachers and pastors and leaders and say, I just don't have time to think any differently. I mean, you know, this is the way I've always thought. This is the way I've always done it. It's the way I'm always going to do it. But I'm telling you today that if you're going to go to that next dimension with God, you're going to have to learn how to think a little bit differently. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. Amen? You just can't do it. It won't work. It's what the Word says. So one of the things that I want to share with you today is that when Jesus was actually teaching, that he would come into a room, or we'd come into an area, he would come to a people, and he would begin to teach the Word of God. And then things would happen like, somebody would come and he'd be on his way to minister to somebody, and somebody would interrupt that and say, can you come and raise my son from the dead? And he would go and he would raise the son from the dead. Then he would come back and he would begin to minister to the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. And what he did is he began to, as he flowed, as he went from place to place and ministered group to group, you saw him teaching, you saw him preaching, and you saw him healing. Those are the three things that you saw Jesus doing all the time. He was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. He was moving forward. Everybody look now, because we want to straightly move forward. We can't go back and accomplish the purpose and the assignment for our lives. We've got to move forward to do that. So this woman began to press in, and she began to move beyond the gender issue. I should have got a big amen right there. If we had a modern translation, it might be, she began to move beyond the transgender issue. We need to move beyond some of these issues and realize what the Word of God says. Now, we're not going to criticize anybody. We're not going to become cynical. We're not going to find fault with people. We're not looking to accuse anybody of being a certain way or whatever else. We're just trying to make sure that we stay in the flow of where God wants us to be, which is love works always, right? We want to love people. We want to make sure that we reach out to people. We want to touch and we want to press in. We want to press in and we want to touch. We want to make sure that we're leaving the Word of God, that we are planting a seed, that we're putting it in good ground so that people can really begin to tap into that. She is not dead, or he is not dead, but he is sleeping. Everybody see that? So maybe you're asleep today. Maybe you need to wake up. Maybe you need to get awake. I understand that the GNO went to the winter gym last night. Is that right? Were you ladies there last night? The GNO, have I got that right? GNO, Girls Night Out, is that what that is? All right, I'm glad y'all got to go to that. I'm sure y'all had a wonderful time there last night. I want to know, did you move as much as the kids moved? That's what I want to know. I ain't kidding. I want to know, did y'all move as much as the kids? Did you do that? Brenda, you didn't move that much last night. She told me that she had a great time watching everybody else have a good time. How many know that's the way it is sometimes? We have a great time watching everybody else have a good time. Maybe it's time for us to get in and get involved in what God wants us to be involved in. Now, God has taken us into some new places. I want to kind of share a couple of those with you this morning. We'll move on. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've established that this morning. God has not called us to be the same. Come on. He's telling us to prophetically begin to speak forth his word. Speak forth His word into the marketplace. Speak forth His word into different places. Now, let me say this to you today. God's not in a panic. He's not up there going, well, things are getting bad on the earth. I guess I better get all this gold ready and ship it down to them. Take it off my streets and send it down to earth. God is not freaking out because of all the stuff that's going on in the earth. We're living in a crazy world. Would anybody agree with that? And so, but we have to remember, now look, we have to remember that God is in charge. And we have to know what our assignment is. We have to know what we've been called to do. So turn to Isaiah 43, and I want to share a couple of scriptures in 18 and 19. And we're going to talk about this new thing and how that we can actually tap into it and begin to move straightly forward the way that God wants us to move forward from where you are today. So in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, it says, do not remember the former things. Say that with me. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Somebody say, I may not know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. God says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness and I'm going to make a river in the desert. Do you not perceive it? Can you not see it? Can you not see what I'm about to do right now? You know, we're so caught up in what is going on in the world that we're not perceiving what God is doing. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can't get entrenched in what the world is doing and then be able to perceive what God wants you to know. You've got to spend time in the presence of God. Sometimes we're perceiving so much the pain of the world that we're not reflecting the glory of God. I don't believe y'all got that one. We're perceiving so much of the pain of the world that we're not reflecting the glory of God. Now, does that mean that we quit ministering to people who are hurting? No, that's not what it means. But there are so many people who've taken their ministry to a level where all they ever do is deal with the pain of other people. And we have to get to the place to where we begin to reflect the glory of God, because I'll tell you this, there are mass healings and miracles that can take place in the glory of God that can't happen any other way. The anointing can get some miracles on an individual level, but I'm telling you right now, when we move from the anointing to the glory of God, things begin to change, mass miracles begin to take place. If we can just perceive it, God can do it. But our problem is that we're trying to make sure that we're doing it the way we've done it before. We're looking back and going, wow, that worked before. We need to get that into the summit. It worked 5 years ago. It worked 10 years ago. But you know what? Forget about what has happened. Be alert and be aware of what God is trying to speak to you right now. Now, how many of you have been in a place where you were trying to get something to work for you and it just was not working? That you raise your hand today. You were maybe using some things that you'd learned, some things that you'd experienced in the past. Maybe you'd been to that place to where, wow, this worked before, and you go, man, this worked before. I need to get back in it. And when you get back into it, and you take it and you work it to its full benefit, it's not working like it did before. How many know what I'm saying? That means that God's trying to change you. That means that God is trying to bring you into a new place. God is trying to bring you into a new situation. Now watch this. What happens to us is that we're always thinking about what is next. God is trying to teach us how to think about what is new. If I could just get to that next level in my life. And God is saying, hey, forget about next level. I'm bringing new stuff. Don't put your wine into old wineskins. Make sure that you're hearing what I am saying to you. Now, many want the next thing because next is about us. Come on. Many want the next thing because next is about us. Now, watch this. I'm going to give you a formula that will work. If you will allow God to bring the new things in your life that He wants to bring into your life, what will happen is that you won't have to worry about what the next thing is. God will lead you there every single day of your life. Some of you are going, man, I got to get out of this job. I got to get another job. God, help me get this job. I'm making $15 an hour. I need $25. God, I need this job. And you just worry about it. You get caught up in it. And what God's really saying is that, hey, I want to do something new for you. Will you just listen to me? Will you hear my voice? Quit trying to go to what's next and say, okay, God, I'm just giving you everything. I want what's new. I want you to bring me what's new in my life. Bring it to me today. And what happens is that when you're always trying to figure out what's next, you become self-absorbed. You get your eyes off yourself and get them into doing what God wants you to do. You know, one of the things that I like to do when we worship in the morning is when I worship during the week, you know, when I put songs on and listen to different music, one of the things that I like to do is I like to just move into the presence of God. So when we come in here on Sunday and we move into this, and man, when we move into it, what happens is it begins to change our mindset. The worship begins to change our paradigm of thinking, the way we thought about things before. Now, sometimes we have to wrestle to get there. Jump out of that comfort zone. Sometimes we've got to wrestle the way that Jacob did. Jacob said to God, I'm not going to lose your blessing. So he grabs a hold of him, and he says to God, he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And see, this is the thing with you. You need to say, God, I need a blessing. I need increase. I need a promotion on my job. I need this to take place. I need this to take place. And quit looking at what the next thing is and say, God, I just want you to hold me. Because I know that you will lead me into the new thing that you want me to get involved in. The new thing is not a facelift on the old thing. Hallelujah. It's not. God is making a way in the wilderness and a river in the desert. How many have ever thought about that? Don't be caught unaware. Let it spring forth. Let God bring the new thing into your life. You know, when Samuel went to look for a replacement for Saul as king, he had his mind made up what he was looking for. So when he gets to the house where God sent him, you know, and he gets there and the father comes in, he's got all these kids. Well, immediately upon seeing all the boys, Samuel is immediately drawn to Eliab because he is tall, he's good looking, he's the obvious choice for king. Next in line, surely, this has got to be the guy. Read the story. Came in looking for the next Saul. But God wasn't about a next Saul. God was about a new king. God wanted to do something new, and you had the prophet trying to figure out who's going to replace Saul. Well, it's got to be somebody that must be just like Saul, and that's not what it was about. Look what God has anointed. Look for what God has anointed, not the gifting. Look for what God has anointed. When I want to build a team for the platform, I look at the people who are anointed. You can have talent, you can have gifts, and have no anointing. Come on, help me now. And have no anointing, and nothing really changes. There's nothing new that takes place. Put somebody in who's anointed, and God begins to move, and God begins to change the hearts of people. But if we're just looking for gifting and talent, then that's not where we want to go, because anointing breaks a yoke. Come on, say that with me. The anointing breaks and destroys the yoke. So we don't need gifted people. We need anointed people. Come on. We need anointed people. God doesn't want the same old thing. Our world needs the anointing to break the yoke. Now, don't fear the struggle. Say that to somebody beside you. Don't fear the struggle. Amen? Now look here. Sometimes it's the struggle that gives you value. You know what I'm saying? It's the struggle that we go through that gives us value. Because when we come out of that thing, we go, we hit that scripture that says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. God is saying, if you can go through this struggle and be a winner and come out on the other side, that's going to add value to your life, to your testimony. It's going to add value to who you are in Christ. And all of a sudden, one of the new things that begins to come in your life is identity. You have a new identity in Christ. You have a new anointing because you have allowed God to change your identity. Now, you know what happens? People get caught up in doubting the Word of God, getting into a place of unbelief. And what they do is they isolate themselves from the body. Because doubts thrive in isolation. So they drop out of church. They're not with people anymore. They think they can get it all on podcast and get it all on internet, all preaching or whatever they need. And pretty soon they've drifted away from that and they're not doing any of that. And here's what happens. When you get to that place, remember this. Doubts thrive in isolation, but these people, watch this now, they die without community. That's why things like GNO are so important. You got some women that really love each other, and what it does is it provides community for you. You get to know each other, and there's strength in numbers. Everybody say strength in numbers. So if you like to be by yourself all the time, that's good for about 24 hours. But you need community. You need people who can help you walk through situations in your life. There's a big difference between sharing your heart and then spreading your hurt. We want to make sure that we are sharing our heart, not spreading our hurt. We want to make sure that we're ministering to other people. Outcomes are dramatically different there. So before you step into your new thing that God is leading you into, cancel your subscription to other people's drama and negativity. I promise you that if you can get out of the negative, if you can get out of talking about people, talking about situations, even in your own family, if you just move away from the negativity and you move away from all the drama, my God, our world is so full of drama. I mean, it is everywhere. You can't touch anything without seeing it. Now, here it is right here. I want you to get this. God is redeeming us and our language. See, God doesn't just come to redeem you. He comes to redeem your language. He wants to change your language, what comes out of your mouth. Man, and we're working on this, aren't we? Well, we're learning how to do this. We're learning how to let the right things and the right conversation come out of our mouth. When we got sickness in our body, we want to say, we call those things that be not as though they are. God, I thank you for my healing. You've already done it for me at the cross through your Son, Jesus Christ. I am healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You begin to confess it. Somebody calls you up and says, hey, I hear you're sick. You say, yeah, it's so bad. I'm just in pitiful shape. Because we want self-pity. We want somebody to know how bad we are. Say on the phone or say in your communication with them, you know what? Been sick, but I'm getting better. I'm rising above this. God is healing me right now in the name of Jesus. And start calling those things that be not as though they are. I'm not trying to tell you to be dishonest. I'm just trying to tell you to be honest about the Word of God in your life. Allow the Word of God to change you. A lot of people come to God for validation, not revelation. They want God to validate their situation. God, can't you see how pitiful I am? Can't you see how bad I am, Lord? And what God really wants you to do is learn how to receive the revelation He's giving you. When America wakes up, Pastor, I wrote this just for you, Pastor Ori. When America wakes up, He wants the fire of God to be in you. He don't want you standing there with a big lighter. This guy helped develop the big lighters. Inventor right here for the big company. Yeah. And you know what? God doesn't want you standing there with a little flame. He wants you to be on fire for Him. Begin to change your language. Let God redeem not only you, but your language. Can you say amen? And you know what? The thing that just stands out to me today is that we have to come to a place and remember the song that we were singing this morning. Remember what God has done for you. Remember His mercy. Remember His love. Remember everything about Him that he has done for you. And you know what? Can you not perceive the new thing that God wants to do in your life? And I think really what it is it's a new identity, new relationships, new garments. Everybody say garments. And by garments, I mean garments, favor, and identity go together. When you put on the new garments, favor and identity begin to flow with that. God begins to bring favor into your life. And watch this. With your testimony, people say, man, how do you get the favor in your life? With your testimony comes favor. As you begin to testify what God's done for you, that's where favor comes. As you begin to share with people what God is doing in your life, that's where favor really comes from. So when we talk about new, we're talking about identity. We're talking about new relationships. How many of you want some new relationships in your life? Let's see your hands this morning. You get tired of the same old people in your life? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm looking for some brand new relationships. And you look like one of candidates this morning. You look like a candidate today. Brand new relationships. Amen? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the new. We're looking for the new identity. We're looking for the new garments. We're looking for the new relationships. We're looking for the new lifestyle. We're looking for the new weapons that God has for us to use so that we can defeat the enemy, so that we can put him in his place. New sounds. New anointing. Everybody say new anointing. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation. I want to look at Revelation 21, just a minute. I want you to see this because I've got a couple of things that I want to say about heaven today, and I think it's because there's a lot of new going on in the Scripture, especially in this passage. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Something old leaves, something new comes, something borrowed is the anointing, and something blue is the healing. Now watch this. And he showed me a pure river of life. That's 22. Let's go to 21. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong one. Revelation 21, and we'll look at, I said 20, okay. Now I saw a new heaven, everybody say new heaven, and a new earth. What happened to the first heaven? Well, the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So we know that that's going to happen at some point in the millennium. We know that that is going to happen. We know that the new heaven is going to come and new earth is going to come. But first, the first heaven, or the old heaven and the old earth are going to pass away. Also, there was no more sea. Look at verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city. Everybody say holy city. New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. How many think that's going to be a gorgeous sight? Just kind of dropping out of the heavens, a new Jerusalem. Verse number 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4. And God will do what? You read it for me. Wipe away. Okay, the former things have passed away. Remember what we read to start with in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. And what we do is we just kind of create a song. We go, this is a new day. Give him praise. This is a new day. Give him praise. He'll make a way in the wilderness, a river in your desert. This is a new day. Give him praise. Stop looking behind you. Start looking ahead. Don't call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. For the Lord declared to you something new he will do. It will spring forth. So don't be caught unaware. This is a new day. Sing it with me. Give him praise. This is a new day. Give him praise. He'll make a way in the wilderness, a river in your desert. This is a new day. Give him praise. Start in the wrong key. How many think this is a new day? How many just want to give him praise because it's a new day? See, every day is new. Everybody say, every day is new. Come on, stand on your feet. Just begin to praise him because every day is a new day. This is a new day. Give him praise. This is a new day. Give him praise. He'll make